reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. Jesus said to the crowds, "This is how it is with the kingdom of God. It is as if a man were to scatter seed on the land and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow, he knows not how. Of its own accord, the land yields fruit, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. And when the grain is ripe, he wields the sickle at once, for the harvest is come." He said, "To what shall we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable can we use for it? It's like a mustard seed that when it is sown in the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. But once it is sown, it springs up and becomes the largest of plants and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the sky can dwell in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to understand it. Without parables, he did not speak to them, but to his own disciples, he explained everything in private. The Gospel of the Lord. Today's first reading, that incredibly sad scene of the murder of Uriah, we can see in all its ugliness the destructive power of lust on two people's parts. First, David's lust that would get him to gawk at Bathsheba and then try to lie once he had committed that sin and she was pregnant, by getting Uriah to come down and sleep with her so that everybody would think Uriah was the father. But at every juncture, Uriah proved himself an honorable man. Even when he was drunk, he wouldn't go in to have relations with his wife, even when he was weaker. And so David had him killed. Sometimes we can think that lust is harmless, breaking the sixth commandment always leads to the breaking of other commandments. We see it led to the breaking of the eighth commandment, led to the breaking of the fifth commandment, led to the breaking of the first commandment. It went all downhill. David recognized through the prophet Nathan that he had sinned and later repented. But we shouldn't just stop with David. David was the king. David was totally powerful. But we also have to ask ourselves, what the heck was Bathsheba doing bathing naked in the side of the royal palace? She knew she could be seen. We don't have everything in the book of Samuel that we would want to have. We don't know if Bathsheba protested being called over to the king. We don't know whether she mourned at all when her husband, a good man, was slain. We don't know if she protested when David wanted to bring her into the royal palace thereafter. And after that child who she conceived died, she became a queen like anyone else and gave birth to other kids, including King Solomon. We don't know if one of the reasons why she might have been sunbathing on her roof was precisely because she wanted to bring about the attention of the king. We don't know. But updating it to 2010, we have got to confront straight on the problem of lust and immodesty, which is all around us. A couple days ago, Archbishop Charles Chaput of Denver was in Rome giving a series of speeches, and in it he specifically talked about the power of the devil, which is something that a lot of the people in the modern world don't want to hear. And he talked about how the devil is dominating our culture, and how even so many in the church, unfortunately, aren't doing anything to recognize he exists, to struggle against him, and to use the weapons that God puts in our hands, particularly prayer and the sacraments, to defeat the devil. And in the question and answer afterward, when one of the people asked him, "You know, you seem pretty upset about the whole thing," He said, "Yeah, 20 years ago when I was made a bishop, I had lots of signs for hope. I thought 20 years later, when we got to 2010, that the situation in the church and in our culture would be better because there were lots of signs of a new springtime. But he says, 20 years later, I look back and I think the situation's a little bit worse, and we're not battling against the devil, and the devil's actually winning so many souls away from the Lord." So then they asked him after, "What do you see that is the real sign of the presence of the devil in the world?" And he said, "You could go through lots of different things, but," he says, "at least in American culture, the greatest sign of the presence of the devil." Now, most of us, if we were to finish that sentence, what would we say? We would probably say, and have good grounds for it, the most obvious sign of the presence of the devil in our society is that we continue to allow mothers to kill their own babies in the womb. But that's not what Archbishop Chaput said. He said the greatest sign of the presence of the devil in our culture is that pornography is everywhere and nobody's battling against it. He says you can go to almost every parish in the country, every Protestant church in the country on a given Sunday, and probably count on one or two hands the amount of clergymen who preach about the destructive power of pornography. And just as we see with David, sins against the sixth commandment never stop there. Watching porn alone never stops there. Immodesty, trying to get men to lust, never stops there. It always leads to other sins. We had the Clarion case of that a couple years ago after Christmas down on Pope's Island at the Foxy Lady, where the sins against the sixth commandment actually greased the skids for the sins against the fifth, and people ended up murdered there because of unbridled lust. We need, as Catholics, to pray like crazy against this way that the devil has taken over our culture, just like he took over David and Bathsheba's hearts. We need to work for it. In the gospel, we see that we should never fear that we think we're outnumbered, even though internet sites are by far the most viewed sites on the web, even though 70% of men in anonymous surveys apparently look at pornography at least once a month. We would be able to say, how can we stop that tidal wave of filth? Jesus answers in today's gospel, talks about the kingdom of God. He says it starts like a tiny little mustard seed, but then it grows up to be a big shrub where everybody can come on in and find shade. It's kind of like a farmer who scatters seed, and before we really knew a lot about biology, just saw that the seed would begin to grow. That's what the kingdom of God is like. We might just be the one mustard seed, tiny as it is, in our school or workplace, or in our neighborhood, or in our family. But there, together with the Lord, we can start to build up that kingdom, a kingdom in which love, not lust, reigns, a kingdom of purity of heart that sees God rather than kicks God out of sight and kicks God out of the bedroom. Today, let us come forward as we receive a small little host, knowing that it contains all the power in the world. And let us ask the Lord for the help he knows we need to have our hearts more and more like his. Hearts that know how to see God, hearts that know how to love, how to sacrifice, and hearts in which he will take away any vestige of lust, so that in the midst of the world we might show the real joy of purity and help our world convert and stomp on the devil and the evil that the devil is doing in our culture through pornography and all that pornography leads to.